Welcome to Good Morning Paranormal. Good Morning Paranormal is brought to you by the All Souls Paranormal Radio Network. With host Mike Baker from Crossroads Paranormal Radio and different radio host personalities from the All Souls Paranormal Radio Network lineup, we're bringing you the lighter side of the paranormal. Now that you've found us, kick back, relax, and enjoy for the next 2 hours. Good Morning Paranormal.
All right, and good morning, and welcome to Good Morning Paranormal on the ASPRN radio network. It is Hump Day. I am Mike, and I'm joined here today with Tom Carr from Wasatch Paranormal and Residual Hauntings Live. How you doing, Tom?
I'm good. Yourself?
Well, I don't know. It seems like I can't talk already.
Yeah, well, you know, one of these days we'll get you to say Wasatch, right?
What did I say? Wasatch, did I?
Wasatch.
Yeah.
Wasatch. I'm just going to start saying that. I'm from Wasatch.
Wasatch Paranormal. You know, if he had a regular name.
Yeah, I know. It was all the good ones were taken. So... We had to go with, you know, the bizarre one.
Oh, yeah. Well, you know, why not? We got to be different. Stands out there. Can't nobody say it, but they know it.
Well, and, you know, if I ever wanted to, I could change WPI from Wasatch to World Paranormal Investigator.
There you
go,
yeah.
Easy enough.
Wasatch Paranormal. It's a household name that you can't pronounce.
That's right.
Yeah. So.
No Chris today, huh?
No Chris. She had to work today. So that she was able to have Saturday off because we had the big meet and greet down in Indy this weekend. Big deal. Should be huge this year. Right now we're in the praying mode that the weather cooperates. The forecast isn't looking overly favorable at this point. And we had some crazy storms yesterday. My God, I know we were getting pounded on, tore up all my patio furniture out back, and... So I flipped on the news, and I seen where Louisville, the University of Louisville, was evacuated. They were underwater. I seen water at the top of the cars and stuff in the streets. So they got pounded on pretty good, too.
Yeah, the Midwest, I don't know. Sometimes those storms just scare the crap out of me.
Oh, and a lot of times, you know, they just come up out of nowhere.
Yeah.
It's like, because I know yesterday it looked like, you know, and it happened about the time I get up in the morning. So, you know, it's like eyes aren't really open. You got your coffee in your hand and, kind of looks like rain. Next thing you know, it's like, oh, my God, are we in Florida with the hurricane or something?
Well, yeah, I was in Wichita, Kansas, and first tornado I ever went through. Scariest crap I've ever seen. Yeah, it looked like it had snowed outside. The hail was so thick. There was just across the yard.
Yeah.
And little dings in people's cars, you know, like somebody taking a hammer to everybody's car.
Yeah.
Windshields busted out. I'm like, okay, why would anybody in their right mind want to live in this?
Oh, wow. It's like, and I think before your time here in Indiana, Palm Sunday tornado, I think it was in 67, if I remember right, we had a huge major tornado outbreak. And we literally had, because we went out after it was all over, after we come up out of the basement, hail outside was as big around as your fist, baseball size.
Yeah, that one that I went through in Wichita, I have a couple of pictures of pieces of hail the size of softballs.
Yeah, you should have seen the cars. I mean, it was just, you know, after the fact, it was kind of hilarious looking at the cars driving through. I mean, I know it wasn't to everyone that had car damage and stuff, but yeah, they were just beat the crap out of them, and I know it was putting holes in people's roofs, and I even had family members who got killed in that tornado, and yeah, it looked like a disaster zone, just everything, metal and trees, and it was just crazy, and it just flows here in the Midwest. You just never know.
Yeah, we had a tornado in Utah, right in Salt Lake City, and I want to say 12 years ago now.
Uh-huh.
And they still talk about it, but it tore up a major part of downtown Salt Lake.
Yeah.
And it went straight up like Main Street to the Capitol.
Wow. But that's kind of odd occurrences in Utah, right? Tornadoes?
It is. It is. It's really odd. I mean, I mean, like I said, 12 years, but they have little tiny ones here that I didn't even realize it, but that aren't even registered. They're so small.
More
but,
straight line wind
that
type
big.
Thing. Yeah. Yeah, they come jumbo size out here.
Yeah. Well, I've been in Nebraska and in Kansas, and
Kansas.
I don't think I ever want to move to the one of those states.
Kansas and Oklahoma. Oklahoma and Texas probably have the big ones, but it seems like when they hit, excuse me, I know the ones that have really tore things up in Indiana, and they had a few bad ones years back in Ohio. Xenia, Ohio was almost wiped off the face of the earth, and, you know, we had the Palm Sunday one here in Indiana. But every year there's, you know, and so far, knock on wood, there hasn't been a lot of that, at least here in Indiana. You know, I know we've been locked down at work a few times. The sirens have went off, so we've had to all seek the shelter and sit there for 20, 30 minutes till they give the all clear. But haven't had a lot of that this year so far, so I'm hoping that trend last until wintertime.
Yeah, yeah. So now, is there more in the winter or is there more in the spring?
It's generally it's when the seasons are changing for the most part because tornadoes is like the cold air and the hot air coming together. So Mother Nature's a little confused. You don't know whether it wants to be hot or cold, and it's just
she's going through menopause.
There you go. I guess that's probably a good terminology for that.
Yeah, she's having some heat hot flashes.
There you go. But yeah, they're wicked when they hit. That's for sure.
Yeah, you don't want to piss off a woman while she's having hot flashes.
No. But we have some, and not only tornadoes, we have some mangy just thunderstorms from time to time. You know, it's like, geez.
We're supposed to have a good thunderstorm this weekend. I love thunderstorms here in Utah.
I do
because
I don't mind thunderstorms, but it seems like, and I live in a two-story house, and I swear that sometimes I swear it's going to blow over. You know, most every house out here, I think there's only like three houses in this whole subdivision are two-story, and you know, 20 years ago, if I'd have known that, I wouldn't have bought a two-story house. But oh well. So
bad. Yeah. We're supposed to have one Friday night, and I've got an investigation Friday night, so I'm hoping that it kicks up the activity.
That might, could be interesting for sure. But
I'm hoping.
But it's been fairly mild here so far. Now I see, and of course, we got the big event coming on Saturday, and we've had a rather mild summer here in Indiana so far. Of course, the hottest day of the year right now they're predicting August 8th, the day we have our event. So not only will it be, I think I seen one forecast at 93. And of course, anytime it gets 93 in Indiana, you got to factor in the humidity. And and generally the index goes above 100.
Yeah.
So that'll be quite toasty out there.
Yeah, that'll be fun.
But
and what is it with paranormal investigators in black shirts?
I know.
Why
that,
do we all do that?
I know. That'll even add to it, won't it?
Yeah. I mean, my group's all mad at me because all our shirts are black. They're like, we need some gray ones.
I like black. You know what?
I like black, too.
Why is that? It's slimming. I need all the help I can get.
There you go. There you go. I like that. That's probably why I did it.
Yeah,
that exactly. And see, it looks better on film.
Yeah, yeah. Well, and I'm a redhead, so I can't wear a lot of colors, you know.
I'm a bald head.
Well,
so
I
don't
say what I have left is the stuff on my face is pretty much white, but the little dab I got left up top has still got a little reddish tint to it. So, you know, I can't wear pink or any of that kind of crazy stuff.
I don't wear pink. I refuse to wear pink.
Well, they say real men can wear pink.
Well, real men can go
to
hell
not,
too.
But not real red fat men can't.
Yeah, I don't wear pink. That's just not in my wardrobe.
Oh, Lord. So what have you had going on since we talked last?
You know, nothing
like
really. This week's been...
Wow, you've been slow, huh?
Yeah, a little quiet this week, which is okay. I've had some things to do.
Yeah, it's good to have a down week from time to time to try to get recharged and everything.
Yeah, I've got audio I need to go over, and I'm just being lazy about it. I've been watching this show called Jericho. It was they only did like two seasons.
Mm-hmm.
It was about a nuclear attack on the United States in a small little town and in Kansas, how they survive. It's actually been pretty good, actually. But it's made me kind of wonder, you know, when the world's going to come to an end. Because, you know, 2012 is just around the corner.
I
was
going to say, 2012, isn't it? That's what they say. 2012, you know.
Yeah, December 12th or December 21st, something like that. I can't remember.
Right up there with Y2K, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So I'm getting ready for that, buying some ammo, you know. Trying to figure out how I'm going to defend my apartment. All that crazy stuff.
What do you need ammo for if the world's coming to an end?
Well, you know, some people might survive. I don't know. The zombies. We got to watch out for them zombies.
Watch them zombies, yeah.
Actually, they're doing a zombie walk here in Salt Lake on Sunday.
Really?
I want to go.
That'd be cool, yeah.
Last year they had like 800 participants or something like that. They're trying to hit 1,000 participants this year.
All dressing up as zombies and strolling through the streets?
Yeah, they actually do a little parade, a zombie parade.
Huh.
So
that's pretty cool.
Yeah, the only thing I'm worried about is we're going to do a zombie walk and a zombie outbreak is going to happen. You know, nobody's going to know what's going on.
Which one is real?
Which one's real? Just shoot them all! Just shoot them all!
Oh, my God. Yeah. Well, we got the meet and greet this weekend down at the historical Hanna House, and... anyone that's listening, if you're still looking for information on that, if you go to crossroadsparanormal.com, right on the very front of that, there's a link you can click, and they've done a great job on a big flyer on the page. It's got all the information you can possibly think about, the sponsors, the event synopsis, the hosts. They call them special guests, but just notables that we know that are coming to the event to set up and talk shop with everyone. The Hanna House is going to have a yard sale to raise money for their restoration and their tours and the haunted house that they put on every year. There's going to be, it's called Old Style or Old Neighborhood Chicago Style Hot Dogs. They'll be serving hot dogs, brats, jumbo dogs, chili dogs, buffalo dogs, chips, bottled water, Gatorade, and pop. And then after our event, Unseen Press, which is a tabloid in Indianapolis. I don't know if that's the correct word, so hopefully I don't get hate mail. But they are going to have a ghost tour of Indianapolis that evening. And there's a link that you can sign up for that and stuff. And so there's a lot of good information on the thing they did it for. So they did a great job on that. And I know Danielle's been hitting it hard with press releases and everything, and she still swears that we're going to have over 1,000 people in attendance.
That'll be awesome. Good for you guys.
It'd be crazy.
Yeah.
But it's
now you guys are broadcasting live there, right?
Well, we want to, but still at this point we're unsure if we can. Apparently, Hanna House does not. I keep getting mixed information. First I heard they went Wi-Fi and not, so I'm not sure if they have any internet. And one of the ladies that broadcasts on our network did have one of those air cards, and she does no longer have that. So right now we're unsure. If someone happens to show up and does have a card and they will allow us to use it, we will broadcast live on the network, but right now we're unsure.
See, now I'm doing a ghost tour Saturday night, and we're talking about broadcasting from there Saturday night.
Yeah, do it up.
We'll see how it works. We're going to be up in an area where there's not a lot of people, but so our card should work a little bit better. That's been the biggest issue, is the everybody using the airtime, and it causes.
So you have one of those cards, right?
Well, what we've been doing is we actually have a my co-founder Doug's got a BlackBerry. That's got the modem adapter on it, so you can turn it into a modem.
I got it, yeah.
And we tried that the first time, but it was downtown Salt Lake area, and there just didn't seem to get a strong enough signal.
Right.
So what we're going to try to do is do it up there, see how it works. We're going to try Friday night, just do a test run, see how it works. And if it works, then Saturday night we'll broadcast from this factory. It's an old cheese factory. And the people who own it, they turn it into a haunted house, but they really haven't been doing that a lot in the last couple of years. But they've had a lot of people investigate the place. They've gotten some light anomalies and quite a few photographs of dark shadows.
Wow.
Down especially in the old boiler room. So it'll be the first time I've ever investigated the place. So I'm kind of interested to see what happens.
Wow. Very cool. Yeah, that'd be great. Be sure to let us know, and we can help put something out to let everyone know that you are going to be broadcasting Saturday night.
Yeah, what I'll do is we'll run the test on Friday, and then I'll let you know Saturday.
Okay.
And I'll record it as well. Awesome. So I like doing the live remotes. They're a lot of fun.
Oh, yeah, they are. They're great. And especially when you got a crowd. I know last year at Halloween time, we went down to Hannah House, and Indy was putting on an event. And the Hannah House was having their haunted house going on, and there was a lot of people. They had a line from the front door all the way around the street and everything. So Chris was just walking up and down through the line and talking with people, and we were recording on our little handheld. And then we brought it home, played clips and stuff. So those are a lot of fun as well.
Yeah, I like doing that as well. We did that last year as well.
And also Saturday at our thing, there are going to be people from two conferences that are going to be coming up real quick. The American Paranormal Conference, which is going to be held in Fort Wayne, Indiana, and the Chicago Ghost Conference, which will be in Chicago, of course. And any ticket that is sold Saturday at the event, $5 of that ticket will go to the Hannah House. So
that's cool.
That's awesome on their part. So hopefully they'll sell a lot of tickets that day. We can raise a lot of money for Hannah House, and they can keep on doing what they do.
You know, that's one of the things I like doing about some of these tours and stuff is, you know, giving back to these places that are allowing us to investigate. I think it's really helping keep the cost down for us as paranormal investigators.
Oh, absolutely, because I think Danielle told me that normally, like if you're a group and you want to reserve the Hannah House to do an investigation, I want to say it's like $400. Now, they donate every year this Saturday. They allow us to use the entire facilities, the grounds and the house, and have our event. So they donate that to us. In return, you know, we're able to come up with volunteers for them throughout the year for their events that they put on.
Yeah.
Raise a little bit of money for them to keep it operating and everything. So it's a good deal.
Huh. Well, yeah, and there are so many places out there which would look at it that way, and to keep, because the costs are getting outrageous. I was reading somewhere that everywhere is increasing. Even the Queen Mary is increasing their prices for the ghost tours.
Wow. And it's got to be because of all the
the publicity.
Publicity, yeah. And, you know, paranormal is so big right now, so they're, you know, they're taking advantage of the opportunity, I guess.
Well, yeah, and that's the, you know, that's what it comes down to, is everybody wants to do it now.
Oh, yeah.
So we might as well make money at it. Not realizing that if they kept the prices lower, they could get more people to go.
Exactly, exactly. You know, you're still going to end up with the same amount of money.
Yeah.
But you'll keep everybody happier. But that's not my choice.
Yeah. Well, why don't we go ahead and take a first break? When we come back, I want to talk about an article that I found. Unseen things to consider when buying a house.
All right. Awesome. Sounds like a plan. So we're going to play some Hannah House commercials that Greg did up for us. That's what we'll be playing today, because Friday or Saturday we'll be here before you know it. So we'll take a break and then we'll come back. You're listening to Good Morning Paranormal on the All Souls Paranormal Radio Network, and also simulcasted at freetimeradio.com. We'll be right back.
The fourth annual Paranormal Meet and Greet, attracting many paranormal enthusiasts from around the Midwest with the purpose of networking within the paranormal community. Paranormal groups are encouraged to set up booths and present information about their organization. Individuals looking for paranormal investigators or thinking about joining a group should not miss this opportunity to meet some of the leading organizations in paranormal investigation. Tours of the Hannah House will be available throughout the day for a small donation. There will also be a historic Hannah House yard sale from 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. find treasures to take home from the historic mansion. The historic Haunted Hannah Mansion is located at 3801 Madison Avenue, Indianapolis, Indiana, 46227. For further details and upcoming announcements, please visit www.crossroadsparanormal.com. Annual convergence of paranormal groups to meet in Indianapolis. Hosts have announced the 4th annual paranormal meet and greet on Saturday, August 8, 2009 in Indianapolis at the historic Haunted Hannah Mansion located at 3801 Madison Avenue, Indianapolis, Indiana. The event will begin at 12 p.m. and last until 4 p.m., open to the public, and admission is free. This event will be held at the Haunted Hannah Mansion, where one tragic night, a group of slaves cramped into a dirt floor cellar, sat waiting for the right time to leave their hiding spot at the Hannah House and head for freedom in Canada on the Underground Railroad. One of them unknowingly tipped over an oil lamp, instantly igniting a fire, trapping them for eternity. The dead are buried in that very cellar that claimed their lives in the attempt to cover up any traces of the heartbreaking incident. For further details on the 4th Annual Paranormal Meet and Greet, please visit www.crossroadsparanormal.com.
Hey, psst, kid, come here. You're looking for a paranormal fix, aren't you? Well, look, check it out. What you need to do... go on over to www.asprn.com. Tell them Mikey sent you. Wink twice, knock twice. When you click on it, hit the chat live. Go into the chat room. Yeah. You'll find your fix there.
Yeah. So we are back with the hump day version of Good Morning Paranormal on the All Souls Paranormal Radio Network. And Tom apparently has something for us.
Well, yeah, I was just kind of looking at paranormal news today. Are you still there with me, Mike?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Unseen things to consider when buying a house. And I just asked a question on chat here.
I see that.
So would you buy a house that was haunted? And it's been kind of an interesting question. My wife and I joke that we feel sorry for our realtor. Because if we ever bought a house, our questions would be like, you know, what's the history behind the house?
Has anybody
been
die
mass
there?
Suicide, murder, you know, things like that.
Yeah.
But what are some of the things that we consider when we buy a house? Now, typically, everybody's going to be looking at the foundation, the plumbing, the electrical. But should we look and see if the place has been haunted? Should we dive into the history of the house?
Well, I guess if that's what you're looking for, yeah, I would think so.
Well, what about those people that don't want their houses haunted?
Well, yeah, true. So you're saying that people may need to do that prior so that they don't fall into that situation.
See, now, and I know some states you are required to put on the information that a person was either died or was murdered in the home.
Right.
But then there are some places you don't have to at all.
I believe, and I know this has come up here, I believe Chris checked into that, and here in Indiana, and I believe I'm right. They don't have to come right out and tell you, but they have to give you all the information if you request it.
Yeah. Yeah, and I believe that's the same way here in Utah. But so the article is about a couple that, let's see, she brought in a feng shui expert who told them the house was bad luck and had plenty of spirits. And apparently she decided didn't want to buy the house because she was pregnant. And let's see here, what was she saying? Yes, there are certain houses or properties you should avoid because of the presence of negative spirits or strong negative energies. But not all spirits are bad. There are houses where the presence of a positive spirit and elements could have been bring good luck and protection. So, I mean, should realtors start offering psychic stuff?
That's a good question.
You know, I mean, really, it kind of makes me wonder why they haven't with all the paranormal stuff that's been going on in the news.
I know. It's pretty bad when you got to take a psychic along with you to buy a house, huh?
Well, yeah. Yeah. But I'm also kind of curious, you know, what makes a haunting, you know? What makes one house haunted and the other not?
Things that go bump in the night.
Yeah, I mean, so it's an interesting question. And what did she say? I cannot tell whether the deaths in the house are caused by or related to the presence of the spirits there, but there have been cases where the spirits have caused such incidents or tragedies. The best thing to do is to have the house checked by a competent psychic, exorcist, spirit, or clairvoyant before buying one, is what they're saying. So, I guess the realtor should start hiring psychics on their teams.
There you
or
go.
Or posting it.
Yeah. Yeah, I know, and, you know, it's pretty much any ghost hunter or investigator that you talk to would always say that if they had the opportunity, they would live in a haunted house.
Yeah, the next question I was going to bring up. Do we really, you know, the whole analogy of do we really want to eat where we crap, you know?
Yeah, exactly. I would think no, you know. I get very little sleep as it is, and if I got something making noise all night long, I'm going to be ticked off.
Well, then you could finally have yourself a paranormal experience there, Mike.
Well, yeah, that's true. That's true. So they all say there's stuff going on here, too, and I think it's just the critters.
Well, your cats. That has a lot to do with it.
Oh, yeah, paranorma.
Yeah. but no, really, it is interesting that you ask people that are in the paranormal, and they're like, oh, yeah, I'd live in a haunted house all day long.
Yeah.
But why would we want to? It would be like a golfer wanting to live on a golf course all day long.
Well, no, I would like that. I would like that. Yeah.
But as I'm reading some of the comments here on chat.
Yeah.
It also depends on the probate if anyone or anything died on the property.
Yeah.
So I mean, but let's take. The haunting in Connecticut, which has become kind of the big thing right now.
Right, right.
You know, if they would have known the history of the house, would they have lived there?
Well, and I think most of those, the ones on a haunting, like haunting in Connecticut that they've seen on TV, those have all been not friendly spirits for the most part, the ones that I've seen.
Yeah.
So, you know, I guess, you know, you automatically, first thing they say is, like you said, I'd like to live in a haunted house. But you got to be careful what you wish for, too, because, okay, is it going to be a gentle soul or is it going to be an angry soul?
Yeah, I mean, who wants to live in a house with a negative spirit?
Exactly. Exactly.
I mean, I wouldn't mind investigating it.
Right, exactly.
Would I want to fall asleep in there? Could I fall asleep in there knowing what I know now?
There you go. Maybe not.
Yeah, so we as paranormal investigators should people start turning to paranormal investigators to check out new homes?
Okay,
or check out the homes they're buying.
But you know what? And along that same lines, the angry souls, do they feed on the fact that it bothers the people living there and scares them to death? Does that feed them? You know what I'm saying?
I think so. I think fear is the strongest emotion.
Yeah, exactly.
I believe spirits and ghosts feed off of that emotion.
You take a bully in school. They would pick on the same kid over and over and over because, you know, that the kid reacted so much, you know. If you just blew it off, you know, they would get tired and wouldn't bother with you.
You know, here's the thing Jade's saying on chat right now. I would not live in there if the spirit had been malevolent. But how do we know that?
Yeah, you don't.
I honestly feel the reason why spirits feed off of our emotions is because they can no longer really feel the emotions like they did while they were alive.
Hmm.
So feeding off of the emotions that we have actually kind of reminds them of what it is to be alive. And I think that's the reason why they scare us is because of fear, because it is such a strong emotion. It's like, you know, eating a carrot versus a piece of chocolate cake. They're going to want the piece of chocolate cake before you want the carrot any day of the week.
Well, most would.
Unless you're completely insane.
Yeah.
And that's the spirits. You know, they're going to want to scare us and feed off the strongest emotion and strongest energy they can.
Right.
Compared to the weakest one. I mean, they said tell us jokes all day long, which would be way cool, but are they going to get the same result?
Well,
I don't think so.
Are you more than likely generating more energy when you're scared than you are when you're not, right?
Yeah. And I agree with Jay, too. I really do believe that it doesn't matter what it's a negative or positive spirit. They want to feel those feelings. Mm-hmm. So they're going to do everything they possibly can to get you scared so they can't feel those emotions.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So do we as paranormal investigators sometimes classify something negative when it could be that they're just trying to get some response or trying to feel some energy from us?
Probably.
And I really think that's the case.
Yeah.
So, I mean, all these shows that say, you know, well, this place is negative. How do they really know that it's negative?
Huh. Yeah.
So we don't.
So,
go ahead, Mike.
I was going to say, so for all you realtors that are listening, now you got to have that separate little sheet tucked underneath the top sheet, just in case the person that walks in happens to be a paranormal investigator. Look at their clothes when they walk in. If it's Tom, you know he's going to have Wasatch Paranormal on his shirt. break out the black paper.
You know, I always plan on, you know, we've talked about it, and we thought it would be cool to live in a haunted house, and I thought, you know, but then again, I'm thinking, do I really want my kids to have to deal with that?
Right.
As much as my boys would probably think it was the coolest thing in the world.
Yeah, I'm
you know. Another good question, Jade. Do we prejudge spirits? New Oprah show. But no, seriously, I mean, are we racial to spirits? I think as paranormal investigators, we want the negative stuff.
Oh, yeah. More excitement.
Oh, yeah, exactly. And that's what we're doing this for. I don't care what anybody says. They can talk about being scientific and studying the paranormal all they want.
Yeah.
Every single person that does this for the thrill.
Exactly. And I agree with you 100%. They say, yeah, I agree. Everyone says they don't. But you still got that little bit that you're looking for, that thrill.
If you didn't, you wouldn't do this.
Exactly. Exactly.
Even scientists are doing it for the thrill.
Right.
You know? The excitement of discovering something new.
Right. As boring as it is, if you weren't looking for that one thrill to make it all worthwhile, you wouldn't do it.
Yeah, any hobby. I mean, anyone who does a hobby. It's not like, oh, you know, I want to have a hobby that's going to be extremely boring and I'm going to hate doing every single time I go. Why would you want that?
Right.
So that's another thing that's always been bugging me lately is people talking about, well, you know, I'm trying to be more scientific. Okay, good for you.
Yeah.
You know what? I'm not even saying that anymore because this is not some sort of career, and I really doubt we're ever going to be able to truly prove the paranormal.
Yeah,
I know. I'm walking into taboo territory right now, but I really don't think we're ever going to be able to 100% prove that they are dead unless they have some sort of change and the dead start walking around on Earth around us and everything like that.
Kind of like your zombie walk.
I'm sorry, what?
So kind of like your zombie walk this weekend.
Yeah, zombie walk this weekend. But people that say, you know, I'm only doing this for the scientific reason are, let's face the facts, they're just trying to make themselves look better. I'm doing this because it's fun.
Yeah. Yeah.
And you
always got that one hope to seeing something.
Yeah, exactly. You always hope that eventually you're going to see something and or capture that next big piece of evidence.
Right.
So I think when we're as paranormal investigators, maybe we should talk to realtors. That's a great source. You know, do you know any houses that are haunted?
Yeah, you know, and I always, now that you bring that up, I wonder how much research the realtor actually does on a house? Do they just take, I call up and say, hey, I want to put my house on the market. This is the address, and this is what I want for it. Do they just write all that down, or do they actually dig into anything?
Well, yeah, I mean, that is a good question. Do they? I mean, probably not. I mean, it's just like a used car salesman. Yeah. How much information are they going to get into a used car?
Yeah. Well, and maybe a lot of them, you know, because I guess a realtor would be a lot like a used car salesman. You got to, you know, tell the people what they want. So if they don't know that, you know, there's been things going on in a house, they don't have to lie outright about it.
Well, yeah, and I'm wondering, too, is has there been any cases where somebody's gone back and sue the realtor for not giving enough information?
Right. Good question.
I mean, does somebody have a legal stance to say, well, they didn't inform me that someone died at this house, and now this paranormal activity's happening. Who's responsible?
Now, Tom in the chat room, he says he carried a digital cam to the last house he was shown and was snapping random photos everywhere. The realtor thought he was special.
Well, yeah, and I'd probably be walking around with my digital recorder asking EVP questions, yeah. You know?
Anybody here?
Is there anyone here? Anyone would like to tell me your name, you know? Stuff like that.
Of course, then the realtor's over there dialing 911 on their phone or something. And
yeah. Oh, I got a couple of loonies.
Calling the local mental health. Are you missing any souls?
Yeah, you missing anybody?
I think I have one of your residents here.
But what do we do as paranormal investigators to help discourage the negative talk about a haunting?
Yeah.
I mean, is it our responsibility? Or, I mean, what am I trying to say here? What is our responsibility as a paranormal investigator? Do we report these things? And if we do, does it cause more activity?
Report.
Can we create activity?
Report it in what way?
To other teams, to, you know, the realtors. What if the house goes up for sale?
Well, then
the people that are living there.
Yeah.
And the house goes up to sale. Goes up for sale. Is it our responsibility to let the new owners know, hey, we investigated that house, and it could be haunted?
Could we
be held liable for not giving that information out?
Well, if it's a, I think you have to tell the homeowner, but then everything else falls on them. I don't think it's our place to put that out.
Well, and I agree, and that's just kind of a curious question, though. I mean, with all the legal stuff that's been going on in the paranormal lately, because I've been reading a lot of stuff.
Really?
It seems like it's because it's becoming popular. More and more people are you know, there's always somebody looking to sue somebody.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
I spoke. And if they can find a new way, then
yeah.
By all means, let's do it.
Oh, yeah. Easy way to make a buck.
Yeah.
And do nothing.
Yeah, exactly. So, I don't know. Waiver forms, I guess, is a step. And I don't really use waiver forms so much for the client as much as just record an interview kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe that's my own mistake, but I don't know.
Waiver in what way are you referring?
Like, we're not responsible if the haunting gets worse.
Oh, I see. I see.
I mean, should we do stuff like that?
I don't think we have something like that. We basically have a release consent, whether to or not to release any information.
Yeah, and then that's what we do, you know. I mean, can we post the information?
Right.
Can we not?
Right.
You know.
And it's like everything else, more and more people are wanting that to be put out, especially if it's a business, because then it's going to generate traffic to them.
Oh, yeah. Oh, exactly.
Let's go down to the Nary's Village Pantry. It's haunted.
And that brings up another good question. How many of these places are, you know, trying to get a team into a location and then making it look like it's haunted just to increase activity, just to increase their business?
Oh, I'm sure there's a lot. Probably more than we can imagine.
I'm wondering, one group's haunted one group's haunted isn't necessarily everyone else's.
Very true. Very true.
It's just reading chat here.
Yeah.
That's true.
Yeah.
And then also, too, I mean, I've done investigations before to the same location where it's completely different the second time or the first time, you know?
Right. Well, and it's, you know, Chris will say that over and over again, that you're never really, once you investigate a place, you're really never, it's never closed. Because, you know, somebody can call you and just say that this place is overrun with activity, and you go there that night and, you know, it was our night off or whatever. So you got nothing. Well,
yeah.
If you go back the next night, maybe it just is booming. So, it, you know, one time's never enough. And I would agree with that, even though I'm a, you know, the skeptic and everything. I would believe that, yeah, it's hit and miss, so you might have missed it that night.
Well, and even scientists will tell you, you know, you can't, well, you can't judge a theory on one experiment.
Well, you know, take the drugs that they come up with. They didn't get it right the very first time. They got to do research on it and testing and trials and stuff. Kind of like it'd be the same way with investigating a supposed haunting.
Yeah. So, I mean, and then there's another question. I've had some places ask for, you know, can you do like some sort of certificate or something saying that the place is haunted if you think it's haunted?
Really?
Yeah.
Now, see, I doubt that we would go that far.
Well, I think it would depend on the activity.
Yeah.
I mean, if I post something on my website and I have permission and I say right on the very top, you know, we felt this place was haunted, or we felt this place wasn't haunted.
Right.
You know? But it's always we felt. It's not, yes, it's haunted.
Right. There you go. Our thoughts.
Yeah. These are our thoughts. and paranormal investigators, there's so many people joining this.
Mm-hmm.
As a matter of fact, that's what's going to be on the show tonight. We're going to be talking about the dangers of the paranormal.
Many.
But there are many, many dangers. But also, too, it's because there's so many people doing it. Do businesses look for inexperienced paranormal investigators to investigate their home? Is that why some of the newer teams are more active than some of the older ones? Because they don't want the more experienced ones?
Well, I guess that's a good point. With that, then the homeowner or business owner would have to do research on the team itself.
Should they? And I think they should.
Oh, yeah, I think so, too, absolutely. If you're really dead serious about wanting someone to come and investigate your home or facility, yeah, you should do some research on whoever you're going to contact. And, you know, here in Indiana, and we've talked about this many times, you can't walk 5 feet without running into a paranormal group. So there are many out there. So, you know, just don't take the first one. You know, don't dial up Crossroads Paranormal and say, hey, I need you to investigate. Check a few of them out and see which ones, you know, talk to other people and get recommendations or.
If they have places on their website as places they've investigated, contact those places.
Right.
I mean, obviously they're putting them on there for a reason. It's not just to show the evidence, but to show that they're active and they're actually investigating,
yeah,
you know?
Yeah, and research that, in fact, they did investigate the place. You know, anybody can put something on a website.
Yeah, exactly. Did they really go there?
Right. So they put on there that they investigated the old broken-down jail. Well, contact someone and see if anyone did go to the old broken-down jail and do an investigation.
Yeah. I don't think there's anything wrong with people investigating the investigation teams.
Oh, I agree 100%. Besides that, you want to make sure you're not bringing some crazy people into your house that are going to destruct the place or possibly cause harm to yourself.
Well, here's a great example. I know of a team here in Utah. their founder's a really, really great guy. He's been doing this a long, long time. He's actually been on Coast to Coast a couple of times. But he refuses to take on new members because they actually ended up getting sued. They went and did an investigation, and then a couple days later, a couple of people that went on the investigation went back and robbed the place.
Oh, they scarred.
And they got held accountable for it, yeah, because they're the ones who brought those people in.
Yeah, scoped it out.
Yeah, they scoped it out. We have to be really careful with that as well, as parent, as a team.
Well, absolutely, and I know that's been brought up before about doing background checks on your members. Prime example, what you just said right there. Unless you've known them for many years, you know, you don't know. They could be the sweetest person in the world.
Well, and that's one of the reasons why I've always said, you know, when you start off with this, you want to start off with family members and close friends. You just don't want anybody, you know, some stranger showing up.
Right.
Because you don't know what they're going to do.
Absolutely.
And then when you become more established, you can, you know, bring new people on and take them to places that, you know, I very rarely ever take an investigator on a residential unless they've been a part of the team for at least 6 months.
Yeah. Yeah, I think a lot of people are that way. And actually, they don't make, generally, I know a lot of groups only take members on residentials. And a lot of places, they will not let you be a member until you've been with them at least 6 months. So that's giving them time to, you know, evaluate how you actually operate and what, you know, if you're in line with the group's rules and protocol, that sort of thing. I know one group that tells them up front, you know, you're on a 6 month probation. At any time, we can ask you that we can tell you that we do not want you with our group.
Well, yeah, and I usually do a 90-day, 3 months.
Yeah.
You know, and it depends on the fit. My group is really weird. We're a bunch of, especially the ones that have been here from the start. You know,
you're a bunch of weirdos.
I've got some members that have been here from day one. And we're close knit family, and people come in and they look at us like we're completely insane. And because we are a little bit more of the fun side, I mean, I'm sure just like Chris and you guys are, we take this seriously, but we also like to have a lot of fun doing it.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Yeah.
Again, it's a hobby. So some people don't want to be, they join our group and they're kind of like, well, you know what? This is really isn't what I was looking for. So they leave, and it gives them the opportunity as well.
Absolutely, exactly. It may not be what they're looking for. That's exactly right. Now, I know one group, at one point, they had their membership age limit at 25. You had to be
25. Oh, yeah, I've seen that as well.
Yeah, they didn't want any younger ones. They wanted people that they thought were going to be a little bit more mature. And that sort of thing. Not to say that, you know, there's some 16, 18-year-olds that could be mature above their years. But that was the break that they put in was 25, minimum 25. In hopes of getting
more mature people.
Right, right. Not someone actually going out thrill-seeking.
Well, and if... again, I've said this, and we said this earlier. I think it's funny when I'm like, "Well, we're not looking for thrill seekers."
Right. Right.
Okay. Whatever.
Right.
Okay. You keep believing that, and I don't want to go on an investigation with you because that's got to be one of the most boringest things I've ever seen.
Yeah.
Oh, we're not here to have fun. Oh no, we can't have any fun doing this.
Yeah. Yeah. I can't imagine any. I don't know of any that we have went on and haven't chuckled a few times. You know. Even a lot of times, even with the residents, I know we went on one. It's been a couple of years, and it's probably been our favorite one overall. And I know we talk about it a lot, but the family was just frightened to death. And actually, they moved it into the backyard into a tent. They didn't want to stay in the house any longer. And so we went, and we were there almost all night long. And you know, we talked to them and they told us what they seen and what they heard and all this kind of stuff. And, you know, we were able to give them some reasonable explanations on a lot of it. But a lot of time we spent outside the house. We'd do a little bit of work and then we'd go outside and in the backyard and chat with them, just regular talking, you know, not talking about the ghosts and stuff that may be in the house and cutting up and stuff. And, you know, and then we'd go back in and do some more investigations. And we were pretty... We actually, on that one, and like I said, they were scared to death. They had two young children, I think, or two or three, and they had moved them all into a tent out back. And so we were able to pretty much come up with conclusions to everything that they said. and they were satisfied, and as far as I know, everything's been good ever since.
Well, and really, though, I mean, a lot of the times people invite us to come in because they really don't know what's going on,
right,
and they
right.
want some answers.
Right. Right.
And that's what our main job is, you know, is to try to find some answers for these people.
There you go. Something other than paranormal.
Exactly. You know, and if it is paranormal, we're the ones they're supposed to turn to, because we're the ones who are saying we're the experts in the field.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And everybody says, well, there are no experts in this field. They're experienced paranormal investigators, right. And there's people who know what's going on and right. have read and have more knowledge than your average homeowner.
Right. Expert as an expert can be.
Yeah, exactly. So that's our responsibility, I think, as people, as paranormal investigators, is to be that shoulder these people can talk to.
Right.
You know, we're that bartender. Right.
Yeah, exactly. That's a good analogy. Someone to talk to. Tell them what they got, or they can tell you what they have.
How many times have we done interviews where the people are like, well, you know, we just didn't know who to talk to because everybody thought we would be crazy.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I've heard that before, too. You know, well, you know, I don't think you're crazy. I think,
although
you know, we need to see what's going on.
We have had some that we might have tabbed that.
Well, that's why I do the pre-interview.
Exactly.
Because, you know, my favorite one is, well, you know, most of the time the activity happens when we're having a party and everybody's drunk. Really?
Yeah.
Oh, I wonder why that is.
Huh. Oh, yeah.
So, yeah. You're seeing little pink elephants, huh?
Yeah.
Hmm. Well, that's paranormal. Huh. What were you drinking? Oh, we were doing shots of tequila. Okay. Well, I want to investigate your house. This is what I want you to do. Why don't you go ahead and take a tape recorder and record for a while, and then tell me what you find.
Yeah.
And then if you do catch anything, we'll come back. So.
Yeah, there's been some wild ones.
Yeah. But I think that is something we as paranormal investigators need to think of, is that, you know, we're the bartenders, we're the people they're going to talk to, and find people in your group that are really, really good, really, really good talking with people.
Right.
And while you're setting up equipment and doing things like that, have them talk to the client.
Right.
And kind of resolve any of their concerns, stuff like that.
Right. And that's exactly what we do. And of course, you know, guess who it is in our group?
Chris.
Would probably be the one. Yeah.
Yeah,
but no, that's exactly what we do, especially in a residential. Chris will have the homeowners in one of the rooms, and we'll do walkthroughs and make some notes and stuff, and go through and set up the equipment and stuff while she's talking with them, and get some of the some more information. We've already done the pre-interviews and stuff, but that's when she gets them to sign the release, yes or no, and that sort of thing. But yeah, she talks to them while we're setting up.
Yeah, they need to be as comfortable with you as you need to be with them.
Yeah, absolutely.
You're going to be spending anywhere from 4 to 10 hours
yeah.
in these people's.
Yeah.
And they want to know what you're going to be doing. They're yeah. just as curious.
Yep.
That's one of the things that always blows my mind, because I watch the TV shows and they send the they send the homeowners away.
Right. Right.
Why? Why would you send away the people that the activity is happening to?
Exactly. Because maybe it's just for them.
Yeah. How do we know that it's not there? That's not the reason why the activity is happening.
Right.
It's because of the people that are living there.
Yeah. I don't think we've done one where the people have left.
I've done a couple, but they're like, well, you know, we're going to go do this and then we'll come back kind of thing.
Right.
But
I think most people,
I've had some people that don't want to be there, but, you know, because they're afraid it's going to be like Most Haunted or something like that. Things are going to start freaking out and flying across. They're like, trust me, if that stuff happens, you're going to be so excited and I'm going to be so excited. It's not going to matter anyway.
Or you start being like Zach and provoke them and getting possessed and all that kind of stuff, huh?
Well, yeah, yeah. Just, you know, I want to be possessed because that sounds like fun.
Oh, Lord.
Huh. So, just keep in mind that you're the in-between. You're the middle person.
Right.
And you're going to have lots of questions. And yeah. New paranormal investigators should be doing as much reading as they possibly can.
Yeah. Well, and Tom, you know, this started out with talking about real estate and realtors. Maybe you can start you a new business, listing paranormal houses.
There you go. I like it.
The paranormal realtor.
I actually know of a person who is a paranormal investigator who's also a realtor, and he loves going into new houses because he always bring audio equipment.
Oh, yeah. That would be, yeah. I can see that. So, yeah, there you go. You know, it could probably be a booming business right now. While the you
Yeah,
know,
could be.
Running you know? Odds high.
Hey. Are you looking for a haunted house? We can sell you a haunted house.
I'm Tom, the haunted realtor. There you go. I can see brain spinning now, yeah.
Anyway, I thought that was interesting. Just kind of an interesting thought behind new homes and stuff like that.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
I've got some strange facts we can talk about in the next hour.
Okay, well, yeah, that's getting ready to say, let's go ahead and get ready for our next break, and when we come back, we'll see what else we can pull out of the air. What do you think?
I'm okay with that.
All right, you are listening to Good Morning Paranormal on the All Souls Paranormal Radio Network and simulcasted at freetimeradio.com, and we will be right back.
We're less than a month away from the 4th Annual Paranormal Meet and Greet in Indianapolis at the Hanna House. Time and location of the event, Saturday, August 8th, 2009, 12 p.m. to 4 p.m. at 3801 Madison Avenue, Indianapolis, Indiana, 46227. You can visit the Hanna website at www.thehannamansion.org. Booths and admission are free. We're looking for teams that would like to be added to the host list and would like to help out to work the event. We're needing an army of people to help. If a team or individual are interested in sponsoring the event, we're only asking for a $100 donation. Your information will be added to all the advertising and sent out to our media contacts naming you as a sponsor. If you'd like to sponsor the event, please contact Danielle Garrison at dgarrison@crossroadsparanormal.com. You will receive a receipt for your donation, and all proceeds will be given to the Hanna House. We'll also need you to go to dgarrison@crossroadsparanormal.com with your information to be added to the website and advertising for the event. This year, the Hanna House will be holding a yard sale to coincide with the event. Don't miss out on your opportunity to find your treasure to take home from the historic haunted Hanna House.
Join Residual Hauntings live every Wednesday night at 11 Eastern on the All Souls Paranormal Radio Network. Residual Hauntings Live will bring you the best of the best, and not to mention, the Paranormal Ninja. So wind your Wednesday down with Residual Hauntings live at 11 Eastern on the All Souls Paranormal Radio Network.
Join Chris and Mike Baker for Crossroads Paranormal Radio every Sunday night at 8:30 Eastern for great weird locations, weird news, and great conversations. Crossroads Paranormal Radio, breathing life into the paranormal community every Sunday night, 8:30 Eastern on the All Souls Paranormal Radio Network.
All right, we are back, and I guess that last Hanna commercial is a bit outdated because, we're definitely less than a month away. We're actually only 3 days away from the 4th Annual Paranormal Meet and Greet at the historic Hanna House in Indianapolis, Indiana, and it's going to be a great day, and if you're anywhere near the area, I would recommend stopping by and chatting with all your paranormal friends.
Yes, definitely go. I wish I could go.
Yeah, we'd like
I
to
wish
see
I was a wee bit closer.
I know. You're way out there. And
21-hour drive.
Never land. I did get a request from for a new show from someone in Nevada. So maybe you'll have some buddies for a long time.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
Cool.
Western
Nevada. There's a group out. There's a group in Nevada that just contacted me. I just had a new paranormal team contact me, too, that's kind of more southern Utah. So we'll see.
Very good. Now, I want to real quick, too, because before I know you had something else, but Chris Balzano, who is the one of the writers for Ghost Village, that does a lot of good work, also has a company called Para Relations. And I know we've talked before about representation and stuff like that, and, you know, do you think it's worthwhile and should people do it and that sort of thing. But Chris has a Para Relations business, and right now I'm seeing half a dozen clients and stuff, and they do a variety of things. And Chris has always been good to us at CPR and Crossroads Paranormal. He sends us guests on a regular basis, and he's been on our show a couple times. We've been mentioning a couple of his books. He's an awesome writer. I don't know. Do you know who Chris is, Tom?
He does the Paranormal News, doesn't he?
Yes, he does. And if you ever have the opportunity, get him on your show. He's a great guest. And so I told him that we would start, I think he's going to send us some commercials for Para Relations. But one of them, Rob Conover, who is an author out of Chicago, and Chris has him, sends him to our events that we put on all the time. And so he's going to help start promoting our events that we have putting on and that sort of thing in return for us, you know, trying to send some traffic his way. So if that's something you're interested in or you're looking forward to, check out Para Relations at para-relations.com. And talk with Chris and see what they can do for you.
Great guy. I'm always looking for more guests because nobody wants to be on this late.
Yeah, I know. It's tough what you have. You got to pull most of your people out of the West Coast area.
Yeah, it's been my biggest issue. But, you know, I did a pre-recorded interview from a guy in London. That went well.
Awesome, yeah.
So other than the fact that I was really, really hard to hear, I don't know why.
Huh.
So
that's a little strange, yeah.
But tonight we're going to talk about somebody sent me a link to a website, The Dangers of the Paranormal. It's a group out in California, and talking about, you know, what do we as paranormal investigators need to be concerned about, stuff like that. And there are some concerns, but I think this guy's going way overboard. I think he's been watching Paranormal State a little too much. But we're gonna talk about that. It should be myself, Russ, and Doug will be on there. And I guess I'm on Crystal's show tonight, too. I didn't know this, but apparently I am.
Oh, I forgot about it. I bet Chris has forgotten also, so I'm going to have to remind
her.
That's right.
Yeah,
ASPRN host on tonight.
Yeah, I didn't remember being invited, but she said something last week. I'm like, okay.
Well, that ought to be a lot of fun. You and Chris and Crystal and I can't remember who. Well, I got it. I should be able to find it right here. Let's see. See if I can tell you real quick. If I can get my computer to work.
Dark computers.
Para. What do you got here, Crystal? Let me see. Looks like you, PC, Greg, and Chris.
Oh, that'll be fun.
Yeah, that should be a good show.
Yeah, that should be hilarious.
And Greg, of course, who's been doing a lot of work for us. Now, unfortunately, he is being moved back to his office. He has to go back to work at a regular type job instead of being fortunate enough to work from home. That's the kind of job I would love to have, a job where I could work from home.
Yeah, me too.
Sit around in my underwear all day and, you know, work.
Yeah, I like that. I would have no problems with it whatsoever.
No, not at all. So, dangers in the paranormal.
Yeah, dangers in the paranormal. Russ and I have got our own opinions on a lot of the stuff, but as you know, Russ and I both have some strong opinions on stuff, and it can be interesting because sometimes we both agree on it, and then sometimes we both have the complete opposite opinion on the subject.
Kind of like you and Chris, huh?
Yeah. A lot like that. So.
Well, I can't imagine Russ being any more strong-willed than Miss Chris.
I don't think so. I think Chris is the most strong-willed person I've ever met.
Ain't that the truth? And that's using the good terminology, you know.
So I have some strange facts I wanted to mention this day.
All right.
I kind of found this cool website. So apparently in Tokyo, a bicycle is faster than a car for most trips less than 50 minutes.
Wow.
It's kind of scary to think.
Yeah, it's a peddling fool.
Yeah, either that or there's a lot of cars.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, exactly. Well, there is a lot of cars over there. I know that.
Yeah. Let's see here. Should there be a crash, Prince Charles and Prince William are never allowed to travel on the same airplane.
Yeah, yeah, I can see that.
There is one slot machine in Las Vegas for every 8 inhabitants.
Wow, 1 in 8.
Yeah, that's kind of crazy.
That's a lot of slot machines.
That is a lot of slot machines. apparently, every day, 20 banks are robbed, with the average of $2,500 being stolen.
Wow.
This one's kind of funny. The most popular first name in the world is Muhammad.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
That's kind of bizarre.
Most popular first name.
Most popular first name in the world is Muhammad.
Wow.
Did you know that tablecloths were originally meant to be served as towels, with which dinner guests can wipe their hands and faces? So the next time you're at your in-laws, go ahead and just wipe your hands and your face on the tablecloth.
There you go. You know, I can see that, though. I can see that being an original. That makes kind of sense. You know, it hangs down on your lap, kind of.
Yeah. Yeah, I could see that. Apparently, and this is another reason why I should visit Iceland. it is insulting to tip at restaurants.
Oh, I like that. Yeah.
Yeah, so do I.
Yeah, and I think now I haven't been there in 20 some years. It seems to me there was something like that in Germany when I was there. We didn't really tip. I think it was kind of added into the bill type thing. I can't remember.
Yeah, I'm not sure. It's been a long time since I've been there, too. When glass breaks, the crack moves faster than 3,000 miles per hour.
Wow.
Yeah. A Boeing 747 airline holds 57,285 gallons of fuel.
57,000.
Could you imagine that at 395 a gallon?
Wow. No wonder plane tickets are so high, huh?
Yeah. Let's see here. A lightning bolt generates temperatures 5 times hotter than those found on the sun's surface.
Wow.
Now, let's see. Here's another good one. And this is one that always seems to happen while we're having dinner. I'm doing the show. It is estimated that 4 million junk telephone calls, phone solicitations, or program machines are made every day in the United States.
Huh. Yeah. Yeah. We get very few regular calls. It rings nonstop for, you know,
solicitors.
Yeah. And we're on the list. Yeah.
If it's a solicitor, that's the first thing I say is, you know, I'm on the no disturb list, and they hang right up.
Yeah. We don't bother answering. We got caller ID, so unless it's Tom calling, we don't answer it.
Oh, yeah, thanks. one ragweed plant can release as many as 1 billion grains of pollen.
Wow.
That explains why I'm feeling like crap all year.
Huh.
It's illegal to drink beer out of a bucket while sitting on the curb in St. Louis.
I think Chris read that one here recently.
That's funny.
Be drinking beer out of a bucket.
The first product to have a barcode was Wrigley's gum.
Really? Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah, Wrigley's been around for many, many, many years.
Let's see here. Over 2,500 left-handed people a year are killed from using products made for right-handed people.
Like scissors and knives.
Yeah. There are more than 10 million bricks in the Empire State Building.
Wow. Huh. And that's not even the tallest building anymore.
Yeah. If you were to continually count 24 hours a day, it would take 31,688 years to reach 1 trillion.
I've seen that, and I think it was on USA Today or Yahoo or something. I've seen that.
Let's see here. I'm trying to read some of these other ones here. Some of these are kind of stupid.
Yeah. Yeah, a lot of stupid out there.
The average lifespan of a Major League Baseball is 5 to 7 pitches.
Yeah, I've seen that as well. Yeah.
The longest recorded flight of a chicken is 13 seconds. They haven't watched Mythbusters, have they? Let's see. Cat urine glows under a black light. Why do we even need to know that?
Who knows? I guess I could get a black light out and see what our cats have done to our house.
I don't think I'd want to know.
Probably not. I probably wouldn't want to either.
Here's one for you and I. During your lifetime, you'll eat around 60,000 pounds of food. That's the weight of 6 elephants.
Hell, I thought I'd do that yearly.
Yeah, I think I'm around 10 or 15 elephants. You know? Dolphins sleep with one eye open. If I was a dolphin, I would too. I want to know how they figured this out. The world's oldest piece of chewing gum is over 9,000 years old. How did they figure that out?
I know. It's amazing how they come up with some of this stuff.
There are more plastic flamingos in the U.S. than real ones.
Now, that I believe. Just go.
And a majority of them are in Florida.
I was going to say, just go to Florida. I think it's a state law down there or something. Yeah. You must have a pink flamingo in your front yard.
More people use blue toothbrushes than red ones.
I think mine's blue.
I think mine as well. In the White House, there are 13,092 knives, forks, and spoons.
Wow.
That's a lot of silverware for the White House.
God, I'd hate to be the cleaning staff.
Recycling one glass jar saves enough energy to watch TV for 3 hours.
Wow.
Lightning strikes about 6,000 times per minute on this planet. Really?
Wow.
Interesting. The average American and Canadian drinks around 6,000 sodas a year. I've got to be up to 12 or 1,300 a year.
I'm right there with you.
Yeah, because I don't drink water, because water will kill you.
Plus, you got to go to the bathroom all the time.
Yeah, I hate water.
I'll get on a water kick from time to time just to kind of like flush my system. But, yeah, I'm good for at least a six-pack or so a day.
Yeah. It was once against the law to slam your car door in the city of Switzerland. There wasn't a single pony in the Pony Express, just horses. Okay.
There you go.
The starfish is one of the few animals who can turn its stomach inside out.
Who cares?
Yeah. Let's see here. A company in Taiwan makes dinnerware out of wheat so you can eat the plate.
There you go.
This is interesting. More Monopoly money is printed in a year than real money printed throughout the world.
Well, I don't doubt that either.
It's called the Fed.
Huh.
Sorry. The elephant is one of the few mammals that can't jump. And why would an elephant want to jump?
Exactly. Just walk over it.
Here's another one for you and I. You eat about 35,000 cookies in a lifetime. I'm going to say a year for me.
Yeah, that's probably closer to my number two. I would imagine. I'm a cookie fiend.
I love the cookies.
Oh, yeah.
Peanut butter cookies and chocolate chip cookies.
I'm not a big peanut butter cookie. I'm the chocolate chip. Yeah, I love chocolate chip cookies.
Babe Ruth wore a cabbage leaf under his cap to keep him cool. He changed it every 2 innings. I'm going to have to try this just to see if it works.
Huh. Well, you know, it is cool. So I guess if they kept it on ice and stuck it on his head, you're bald, so it would feel cool on top of your head.
I guess, yeah. I don't believe this one, but apparently a man named Charles Osborne had the hiccups for 69 years.
I think I've seen that one time.
Yeah, I think I have too. I just don't believe it.
Yeah. So he hiccuped all night long while he's sleeping?
Yeah, I didn't.
Huh.
Here's some interesting numbers for 1997. 166 trillion, 875 million pieces of mail are delivered each year in the U.S.
Wow.
Okay.
Most of it junk.
123 million cars are being driven down the U.S. highway.
Wow.
85 million tons of paper are used each year in the U.S. 56 million people go to Major League Baseball each year.
Yeah. I would think the paper thing is going down, though. You know what I mean?
I would think so, too. This was 1997,
right,
apparently.
Right, right.
Bats always turn left when exiting a cave. Let Chris know that.
Yeah, sure. I'm sure
she should always stand to the right. let's see. Page 3 facts. Anything else here bizarre? Dogs and cats consume over $11 billion worth of pet food a year.
I can believe that. My God.
I believe it.
Our cats, who just turned a year old, so we just changed them from kitty chow to cat chow. Oh, my God. They thought that was the greatest thing ever, and they will not stop eating. I swear to God. I told Chris she's going to have to start picking the bowl up, you know, because we have one of these self-feeding gravity-dropping things, and they eat nonstop. It's unbelievable. They love that stuff.
Yeah. You know, that's a good question. Do dogs and cats get sick of eating the same thing every day?
Well, I hope not, because we only feed ours one thing.
Yeah.
We had our dog for 9 years before we had to put him down, and that is all he ever ate. Was the same dog food for the whole time. Well, of course, we started him out with the puppy part of it in the very beginning, but then we switched him over to adult, and that's all he ever had. We never gave him scraps from the table or anything. So, and he was a little chunk.
Here's a good one for us. Every second, Americans collectively eat 100 pounds of chocolate.
I can do that.
I can do that, too. let's see. Every year, kids in North America spend close to $500 million in chewing gum.
Wow.
An earthquake on December 16th, 1811, caused parts of the Mississippi River to flow backwards. How do they know that?
Who knows? I think they make some of this stuff up. You know,
a person uses approximately 57 sheets of toilet paper each day. I don't believe that. 57 sheets of toilet paper each day?
That's probably not. Well, it's hard to say. Yeah.
One person?
I'm not going to count it.
Yeah, I'm going to start counting that. That's interesting. Honolulu is the only place in the United States that has a royal palace. More money is spent on gardening than any other hobby. Apparently, they didn't talk to paranormal investigators.
There you go. There you go.
Yeah.
I know we're broke.
Yeah. Rice paper doesn't have any rice in it. Well, damn. I've been storing rice paper up as like a food storage.
Just in case, 2012.
Yeah.
I'm going to go eat a notebook.
In England in the 1880s, paint was considered a dirty word. Yeah, this is kind of gross. Most dust particles in your house are made of dead skin.
Yeah.
That just kind of, ugh. Things I don't want to think about. Like, how many, the average human being swallows how many bugs a night or something like that.
Yeah.
I don't want to know that crap.
And the bed bugs.
Yeah.
That supposedly everyone has.
Ernest Vincent Wright wrote the novel Gadsby, which contains over 50,000 words, none of them with the letter E.
None have the letter E in it?
None of them have the letter E in it.
Wow.
Of all the words in the English language, the word set has the most definitions.
Said?
Set.
Set.
Yeah.
Huh.
A toothpick is the object most often choked on by Americans. let's see here. Every 45 seconds, a house catches fire in the United States. There's a lot of interesting stuff. Yeah. The most used letter in the English alphabet is E and Q. Or, and Q is the least used.
Yeah.
Well, that doesn't make any sense. If the Great the Gatsby doesn't have any, how did he do that?
50,000 words and none of them have the letter E. That's
I've got to check that out.
I know, that's unbelievable. Unbelievable.
Dogs and cats, like humans, are either right or left-handed, or is that paws?
Yeah, I heard that.
The opposite side of a dice cube always adds up to 7. Did you know your nose prints are used to identify dogs?
Yeah, I knew that.
I didn't know that.
I've read the same page you've been on.
Have you?
Yeah.
I just found it today. It's kind of funny.
Weird facts.
The poison arrow frog has enough poison to kill around 2,200 people.
Yeah. Don't know where they are, but hope they stay there.
A lump of pure gold the size of a matchbox can be flattened into a sheet the size of a tennis court.
Wow. Wow.
Huh. Interesting. So, some strange facts.
Yeah.
I know Chris reads the strange laws.
Speaking of strange... I seen Crystal just showed up.
I'm sorry, Chris showed up?
Crystal.
Oh, Crystal.
Yeah.
She just showed up?
Yeah.
Oh, on chat. Hi, Crystal. Anywho, those are some strange facts.
Yeah. Some are very strange. Very strange.
In Singapore, did you know it's illegal to chew gum?
No.
Yeah. Apparently it's illegal to chew gum in Singapore. Hmm. Wonder why that is. It's probably considered rude or something.
Probably.
Yeah. So, Tom, anywho, that's all I got. Yeah.
Tom, you know you're on my show tonight, right? Don't forget.
Oh, did she just put that on there?
Yeah, probably going to reach. She came by.
Yeah.
Remind Chris.
She said, thanks, Crystal, for reminding me.
She says remind Chris. Now, who's going to remind me to remind Chris?
Who's going to remind me to remind me?
There you go.
I'll be there, I guess. Sure, why not? Yeah, I don't have anything planned,
that'll be,
I guess.
That'll be a wild and woolly show.
It should be fun. I haven't been on a show with PC for a while, so that should be interesting.
Yeah. We do it every Monday. She's our one of the hosts for the Monday Good Morning Paranormal Show.
Yeah, I listen to the show on archive because I figured I have to get up early on Wednesday. I don't know if I want to do it 3 times a week.
Yeah, it's tough. It's tough for me. I do it every day. Or not every day. Well, I get up early every day, though. I get to bed about 2, get up about 8.
Yeah, I went to bed around 3 last night.
Wow.
And then got up. And I'll probably be up all day because I got a lot to do today.
Yeah, that's good.
Busy day. Busy, busy day. I'm working on some things.
Ah, very good, very good.
As always. Yeah. Trying to finish my book.
Oh, there you go.
And I've been really bad lately.
She says she's going to get you guys going tonight, so should be a good show.
Oh yeah, it should be interesting.
Yeah, I'm sure.
A nice kickoff for Residual Haunts.
There you go. Yeah.
There you go. Because I'm hopefully going to get people going with the danger of the paranormal. That's the idea anyway.
Yeah. That probably wouldn't be hard. And who you got coming on?
I don't actually have a guest. It's going to be me, Doug, and Russ talking about the dangers of the paranormal.
Yeah, so you're going to try to get Russ going, huh?
Well, I think it'll be more Doug than anything.
Oh.
Doug's very opinionated.
Oh.
He's a quiet fellow, but once you get him started... Crystal wants to know what my... You know what, Crystal? I have yours, so I'll call you. I have already been getting enough of the... hi, I'm a lonely woman from Russia who's looking for a husband.
Now, You know, speaking of Skype, I got an email the other day. Did you know that there's a possibility that Skype's going to go away?
What? They can't do that to us.
I know. It's going to be bad, bad, bad. But apparently what? Skype is somehow affiliated with eBay. And I don't have the email from me. It's on the other computer. And somehow there's some litigation over some rights or something or other, and now they don't know what the outcome is going to be. And if it gets tied up in litigation, Skype may go away.
Oh,
and
no.
If that happens, that's going to put a hurting on a lot of stuff.
Yeah. I mean, we can broadcast right to the server through the mics, but how are we going to contact anybody?
Right, right. So hopefully it won't happen, but and I'm hoping that someone will jump in there and write the stuff that needs to be written and just say to hell with eBay and get them on out of there and just continue on the way they are. But who knows?
Yeah, I was just looking to see if I got one about it. But
I got it from one of our hosts on the network, and I can't remember the article or where it came from. Like I said, it's on my other computer, so I don't have it. So.
Well, that's a concern.
Yeah, it definitely will be if it happens.
Because I really like Skype. I really do.
I do too, and it does act up from time to time, but and knock on wood, like today, it's been awesome. I mean, you wouldn't know that we were on Skype. You would think it's actual telephones. And, you know, I'd say 80% of the time, it's like that. It's a good program. And for the price, I mean, I know with what I have, it's running me about $60 a year. $60 to call anywhere in the world, in a sense.
Yeah, about that. I think that's about what I'm at, too. Right. I'm about the same price.
Now, I can call anywhere in the United States and Canada, any phone number, for free. And I can call in anywhere in the world to another Skype number or another Skype username for free.
Yeah.
So, yeah. It's a great program.
I have some friends that, I mean, that's how they do family things, the video chats and stuff like that.
Absolutely.
Just on Skype.
I have not tried the video part of it. I want to try that sometime. And it's like I told Chris, I wish a lot of this, you know, I wish a lot of this technology was around when I was in the military years ago. Would have made things a lot nicer. You know, I spent 7 years overseas, so you know, you just can't jump in a car and come home and see your family or anything. And the phone bills were rather expensive, so they were rare to have. So, you know, the technology today is awesome. I wish we'd had a little bit more of that when I was in.
Yeah, well, you know, and just the kids' toys alone.
Oh, yeah, everything. I mean, some of it I was like, I don't. I'm not unhappy that it wasn't around when I was a kid, because we spent all of our time outside playing. Where now I think kids tend to stay inside a little more.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's I'm a little different on that part of it, but some of the other technology is awesome.
Yeah, and it gets better all the time.
Oh, absolutely. And prices get cheaper. It's just, you know, before long, it's just like, you know, just think how far advanced the Jetsons were in the day. You know, you think about it. The stuff that they had. You know, we're moving closer and closer to some of that stuff every single day. I don't know about the flying part of it, but a lot of the other stuff is, for sure.
Sorry, I just got something from Skype. Matt just added me. Okay.
Oh, okay.
For tonight's show.
There you go. Yeah. Actually, I think it was.
Yeah, crazy. I just put my Skype out there. So everyone's going to be Skyping me now.
Uh-oh. Look out. If you want to contact Tom.
Yeah, it's Grunter1.
Yeah, I get
my
some
alter
of the,
ego.
I get some of those crazy messages. Because mine's on all the time, but it's on the computer that I use for the show. So the computer I use all the time doesn't have Skype on it, so I don't see all these messages and stuff, but I go back and clear them out from time to time. And
sometimes my laptop will be going and my desktop will be going in the same room, and I'll Skype on both of them, and all of a sudden it's like stereo when I get a phone call, you know? Like, what's going on?
Yeah.
Not realizing that I have it on both.
Yeah,
so
see. Yeah, see, I'm running... I got a laptop and a desktop running right now. I run the show on the laptop, and that I use the. I have an old desktop. Basically, the only thing I use it for is a chat room now. And then I have my main computer that I use for everything else.
So now you were talking about a new show possibly out of Nevada.
Yeah, Western Nevada Paranormal. Don't have a lot of details. I'm going to respond to the email here in a little bit. They want to do a couple nights a week.
Really?
Yeah.
They must have a lot of time on their hands.
They're currently broadcasting on Blog Talk. I went and listened to one of their shows this morning. It sounded like they did a pretty good job. So I'll talk with them and see how it goes and what they can do. And I think we have another new one starting maybe tonight. Miami Town Ghost Radio. Correct me, Crystal. Is that on tonight, I believe?
What time are they on?
Before
Crystal?
Yes. Yes, before Crystal. I'm not sure, because we were having some sound issues with them, but I did get an email from them that I believe they got it worked out, so I think they're supposed to be on tonight. And Crystal's not responding, but I believe that's the case.
Yeah, I'm looking at these Western Nevada Paranormal. I've been on their site before.
Have you?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's interesting. Their site is Universal Faith Fellowship.org.
Right. That's the one.
Kind of weird.
Yeah. And like I said, I went over to Blog Talk and listened to their show, and it wasn't too bad.
Oh, so, good.
Could be interesting.
I actually got an email from somebody wanting to update why we haven't been on Blog Talk, and I'm like, what? I haven't been on Blog Talk for months, and I mean, when we switched over, we spent 2 months simulcasting on Blog Talk. Letting everybody know, we're moving over.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, and I wonder, they've made it so difficult, it seems like. Maybe it's just me, I'm not real smart. But, you know, it seems like it's very difficult to find a show, find the archive and get it to play, and then they throw all this other garbage on it and all that kind of stuff. And
I do not miss Blog Talk at all.
No, I do not either. Not at all. I mean, it was a great place to start. I recommend to anybody who wants to start, if you want to do a show, go over to Blog Talk and give it a shot for a while. You know, get comfortable with what you're doing. It's great for that. They provide you with everything you need. So I have nothing bad to say about Blog Talk.
Oh no, neither do I. I mean, it was a great forum to get going, and
absolutely. Yeah.
And actually, we had a lot of listeners.
Yeah, and actually, I think that's going to be my new thing is if I have a show that's not a current show, I'm going to say, you know, why don't you go over to Blog Talk and do a few shows, get, you know, any bugs you might have worked out, get comfortable with what you're doing, and then you can make the leap. You know what I'm saying? I think that would be a smart move on a lot of them's part.
We actually, one night, we didn't have a guest show up, so we called another show that was on Blog Talk.
Uh-huh.
It was funny because these guys are all conspiracy theory, and somebody asked a question why I was on the phone with them, and they didn't know the answer, and I did.
So they were broadcasting, and you guys were broadcasting, and you called them, and...
Yeah.
That's pretty wild.
You know, when we were doing the random phone calls, which we haven't done for a while, which was kind of fun. It was something I tried for a little bit, where we would just call random haunted locations. The best is Disneyland.
Disneyland.
I called Disneyland as a random phone call, and the lady was just totally rude, but it was funny.
Why was she rude?
I asked her if I could, you know, I asked her if we could talk to the employees' lounge or something, because we were kind of curious about some of the ghost stories. And she's like, I can't transfer you. And I says, I know you can transfer me. Don't give me that. There's a phone down there. And she goes, what is this regarding? And I says, well, I just want to, you know, we're a live show. And I always say whenever I call anybody, we're live on the air. Is that okay? And she just went ballistic. It was pretty funny. But Disneyland is actually apparently pretty haunted.
I've heard that.
There's a couple of stories.
Huh.
One of the biggest ones is a mother dumped her son's ashes on the Haunted Mansion.
Huh.
Or it was the Pirates of the Caribbean. No, it was the Haunted Mansion. Because he loved the ride so much, he wanted his ashes there. And Disney wouldn't give her permission, so she just snuck him in and dumped him there anyway.
Wow. That's pretty wild.
And there's another one of a person seen on the Pirates of the Caribbean. And there's a maintenance guy who's seen wandering down in the tunnels all the time. Because people don't realize there's a city underneath Disneyland.
Really?
Oh, yeah. Hmm. They have access to all the park. You can go into certain doors, and they'll take you down in the tunnels to get you to the other side of the park. That's how a lot of the characters are able to move around from place to place without being seen.
Hmm.
Because they go underneath Disneyland.
I see.
I'm a Disney freak.
So what other places have you called?
We've called a bunch of haunted hotels. Queen Mary. The Queen Mary was way cool. She was awesome.
Really?
We called the Stanley. He was pretty nice. You know, we just called a bunch of random places and said, hey, what can you tell us about your ghost stories, and did you have any experiences? And then I needed to bring it back because everybody loved it.
That was pretty cool. Yeah.
Yeah. And it kind of just plugged a haunted location. We asked them, you know, how do people go about going to your location if the place is haunted? We actually had it hatted. That's a Tomism if I've ever heard one. What's the plantation? Oh, Myrtles? I just lost my brain.
Myrtles.
Yeah, we actually called Myrtles, and then we had him on the show as a guest because we called him.
There you go.
So it's kind of fun just calling places across the country and asking them, you know, do you guys promote your ghosts or don't you?
Now, have you ever called any individuals? You know, some of the notables in the paranormal field.
Well, no. I've got a couple of people's phone numbers, but I'm not going to... I don't want to piss off John Zaffis or Rob Thomas.
Yeah.
Because I have, like, John Zaffis's phone number, and I've got Rob Thomas still on my Skype, and who else do I have on there? My past guests.
I've got a few as well.
Chris Fleming I still have on here. David Oates, who's become kind of a friend of the show. I still have a couple of people on here.
Now, he's the backward speech guy, is that right?
Yeah, reverse speech guy. You guys should have him on the show. He's actually really, really cool. Uh-huh. And I've been playing a lot. Whenever I get an EVP that I can't understand, I reverse it.
Really?
Yeah. And a lot of times we actually hear something that we didn't hear.
That's pretty wild.
So, yeah, David John Oates, he's an awesome guest. I've got Todd Sheet's cell number in my cell phone. That's disturbing.
Yeah.
I'm a, you know, I was a Todd Sheets fan before Night Watchers.
Right, I'm not telling me that.
I'm such a gore freak, gore movies, and he is the gore king of the of horror movies.
I was shocked. We went on one of his events a couple years ago over at the Ashmore Estates, and I was shocked when we got there, and you know, this big, huge guy. Well, not huge, but he's like 9 feet tall.
Oh yeah, he's a tall guy, and he's real burly.
Well, he's kind of skinny, but you know, he's got the long hair, and he's like very tall. I was shocked at how tall he actually was, and but it was a lot of fun. He's a very cool guy.
Yeah, he is. He is. We were gonna have him at a con and some things, a conference last year, and some things didn't work out.
Yeah,
very excited to meet him.
Yeah, he's extremely busy. I do know that.
Yeah, and someday I will meet him in person, absolutely, not just talk to him on the phone and on the radio.
Yeah, very cool guy.
He's one of those guys that I admire.
Yeah, down to earth. So, he's a good guy. Good guy.
He is. He really is. He's very friendly, too.
Yeah.
And he's concerned about everybody, you know. He's really concerned.
Yeah, I agree. I agree 100%. Great guy.
Which is awesome, because you don't see that with people like, you know, where their name's kind of getting known like that.
Yeah.
Now, he's concerned about everybody else's feelings, and he wants everybody else to be happy.
Right. Another one I see that the new show tonight's having, Jim Willis on. If you've never had him as a guest, he is awesome.
Who's Jim Willis?
He is a writer out of, I think he's in, it's either Columbus or Dayton, Ohio, somewhere in Ohio. And he helped write the Weird Ohio. He's into the weird books, the Weird U.S., the Weird Indiana, Weird Ohio. And he is one of the best storytellers that you'll ever come across. We've seen him first time in Illinois. He went to a conference and he was speaking, and he does these. He has all these stories he tells, and he does a great job at it. He adds humor to it, and we've listened to him many times, and we've had him on the show a couple of times. He's a great guy, great guy.
I'll have to contact him. I'm actually trying to get a hold of a couple other people. I've been wanting to do a show on conspiracy theories. Because I think they kind of...
I'm telling you, get a hold of John Greenwald Jr. from Black Bolt Radio.
John Greenwald?
John Greenwald Radio. Or John Greenwald Jr. Go to blackvaultradio.com.
I found it right here.
Yeah. I
have to get a hold of him.
He would be excellent for that.
I get a kick out of the conspiracy stuff. Yeah. I listen to Alex Jones. I listen to a couple of other people, and they're funny because they take it to the extreme. He's got a horde of information
on his website, Tom. He's got like three different websites. If you go to blackvault.com, then you can follow links, and he's got another website that has a lot of information on it.
I'll have to check him out.
Yeah, very.
Yeah, I get a kick out of the conspiracy stuff. It's kind of fun.
It's a little above me. It's more in my little pea brain can grasp sometimes.
Sometimes, though, I mean, some of the things that they say, you kind of go, that's interesting.
Yeah.
And it really makes you kind of wonder.
Yeah.
Because there's a lot of truth to what they say. Like the FEMA camps and, you know, Alex Jones. I don't know if you've ever listened to Alex Jones. He's out of Texas. He's been doing this for the longest. He's really into the New World Order stuff. And he did the Obama factor, basically saying that Obama was pretty much elected by a bunch of businessmen. That's how he became president.
Right.
And he's really into the cross and bones stuff and the UFO stuff. And check out his website is or just Google Alex Jones. And his website's actually quite interesting. He's got a couple of them, and he does a radio show, like a 3-hour radio show. And sometimes he actually will broadcast a live television show with it. But he went off when they wanted to put... you had to scan your thumb print to get your driver's license in Texas.
Wow.
And he actually sat at the DMV and refused to do it. And said, you know, I don't think I have to. Because he was calling it the number of the beast kind of thing. And it was quite interesting. So conspiracy theories are fun.
Yeah.
They're a good way to kind of make you go, interesting. Yeah. And you have to take them with a grain of salt because some of these guys are, I mean, way out there in left field. what is his big thing right now? Let's see here. I'll go to his website real quick. I've got it bookmarked here. His Information Wars is what it's called. Info Wars. His big thing right now is the U.S. Census Bureau. Apparently, people are being fined and harassed by the government for refusing to ask or to answer certain questions. And I'm a person who's against the census.
That's coming up again here before long, isn't it?
Yeah, they're actually starting it now, but I'm against the census.
Yeah.
I think it's okay for them to say, you know, my name and the people who are living here, but I think some of the questions they ask, I just don't think the government should need to know.
Yeah. I would think they already know it for the most part.
Probably, but I don't know. I guess the less I give them, the better.
Makes you feel better.
Yeah, you know. Yeah. But that's just how I am.
Yeah, they can probably tell they can probably tell you more about yourself than you know.
Probably, and that's kind of scary. He's got this new t-shirt out there called Fascism, and it's basically Obama, but he's got the Joker's face from Batman.
Yeah, yeah.
He's really anti-government. he's against the Fed. So it's kind of fun just to listen to.
Yeah, no doubt.
You got to be really open-minded, because there are some people out there that are just really into it and take it way too far. I mean, we're talking Montana militia crazy.
That's pretty crazy.
I'm not ready. I'm not there yet, although I'm getting close.
Those guys are out there, that's for sure.
Yeah.
But what else do you do in Montana?
Well, that's true. I mean, you either join a militia or, you know, marry your sister, I guess.
And go hunting.
And go hunt.
Yeah. Not much out there. So. Good clean air, though.
Yeah. I wouldn't mind moving to Montana. No, I could live in Montana.
Yeah. I wouldn't mind it either. And I think they still have the no speed limit rule during the day.
Oh, no, really?
On the highways, I believe. Unless they've changed it, I know Montana at one time had a no speed limit on the, I think it's their interstates, during the daylight hours.
Really? Yeah. I like that.
Yeah. And they said that it was funny. I seen things that, and the majority of people, even though it was unlimited, they didn't do the Autobahn type thing, you know. I'm sure there's the occasional, especially when they first started. They said most people drove, you know, maybe 80.
Yeah, I can't see, really, I don't understand the concept of wanting to do 110.
Oh, my God.
But then I'm an old man now, so yeah. That doesn't...
Oh, yeah. I remember my years in Germany out there on Autobahn. You know, I'd be out there doing 125, and they're just blowing by me like I was sitting still. I was like, oh, my God, they would be flying.
You know, yeah, I've made it from Utah to California, which is typically from my house where I lived in Utah to my grandparents' house. If you were to do the speed limit, it'd take you about 13 hours. I've done it in 6.5. So, when I was much younger.
No tickets?
Nope. Wow. Nope. I never got a speeding ticket until just recently.
Stealth mode. That's pretty good. Cutting it in half.
Yeah.
I'm like you. Like you said, now it used to be when I was younger. You know, my parents. It was nothing for me to drive 90 mile an hour going over to my mom and dad's house. I get there in about 45 minutes. Now it takes me an hour and a half. You know.
Yeah. I just don't speed.
Yeah, I don't either.
Refuse to.
I don't want to be paying the fines and paying more insurance and all the other crap that goes along with it.
Yeah. Although it was kind of funny, I got pulled over last month, and I'm freaking out. I'm like, oh, God, why am I getting pulled over? Why am I getting pulled over? And the cop comes walking over, and he goes, I bet you're wondering why I pulled you over. And I'm like, yeah. He says, well, I just saw the paranormal thing on the back of your truck. Do you really do that?
You're kidding
me. I was on my way to an investigation, too. So I probably spent 15 minutes talking to this cop about our group.
He pulled you over for that.
Yeah, he pulled me over because he wanted to talk to me about the ghost hunting.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, it was pretty funny.
That's wild.
Huh. So. Anyway.
Good old
I'm all out of stuff, Mike. I need Chris here.
Well, we ain't got much time anyway, so we can babble through for the next 10 minutes. But
So you guys got the meet and greet.
Yeah,
you guys aren't really doing much investigations now, though. You guys have been kind of busy with everything else, right?
We have been. We did go on one. Well, actually, you know, speaking of investigations, you know, we got the kid here now, and he's all into it. And some friends of ours, they have a group here in town as well. They have their own group, not affiliated with ours, but we're friends, and we do things together. And they invited him last weekend to go on an investigation. So he went on his first residential investigation.
And, oh, cool.
I guess we talked to him afterward. We talked to the people of the other group afterwards, and I guess Dennis did an excellent job, you know.
Good, good.
Which was good. So he enjoyed it, and he just wants to know when he can go back again. So He's doing real well with it. You know, he's only 16, but he's all into it. And so we're training him a little bit. We won't take him on an investigation. Our rules state that you got to be 18. So we did take him out to a cemetery and stuff and let him do a little bit of work. But he's doing well. So he enjoyed it. So, and like we've always said, you know, as long as he's interested in it, then we'll continue on with it. But if, you know, he comes to us one day and says, yeah, I really don't want to do this anymore, then we won't bother him again with it.
Yeah, and, you know, and I think 16 is a good age to really kind of start getting into it and learn a little bit more.
Yeah.
Read before.
Yeah.
You know, there's some stuff. But 16 is a good time because you can drive. As long as he's not, you know, taking his buddies out and going.
Right, right. Well, he doesn't drive yet, so he has to go with someone. And we won't let him go on his own. He'll have to either go with us or if another group invites him or something. But, yeah, at this point, even when he starts driving, we won't let him go on his own as long as we know it.
Yeah.
So long
as you know it.
But hopefully we'll have him taught well enough that he won't do that. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah, and I don't think he will. I think he understands.
Yeah, I think so too.
And the basics.
And like you said, with reading, and there's no fear of not having anything to read in this house because I'm sure that we have every book that's ever been written. And I know Chris is piling. He's got a backpack. It's probably weighs 150 pounds because it's full of books. That Chris said, here, you need to read this. You need to read this. You need to read this. So.
Yeah, I needed to tell Chris. I actually got a copy of the that. A Haunting in Connecticut, the first one, with John Zaffis. And I actually found it creepier than the movie.
Really?
Yeah. Huh. And it's interesting. The movie's all over, and I was with Stacy, and I was like, huh, so there wasn't dead bodies in the walls? You're kidding me. Huh. Why would Hollywood lie about that?
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, she's brought up a few, because I haven't read the book. I don't read books, but she read it, and she was talking about, you know, as the show was going on, I think, one of them was when the woman was mopping downstairs.
Yep. In the movie.
Yeah.
The new movie.
And actually that happened in the kitchen, I guess.
And she actually saw it, where in the movie she doesn't see it, only the boy does.
Right.
In the real story, her and a lady who was there cleaning the house.
Right. I was going to say a house cleaner or something. Well, yeah. Yep. Very true.
So, yeah, it's kind of interesting how Hollywood likes to change things. But it was a double feature. I actually need to watch the other one. I got A Haunting in Connecticut and A Haunting in somewhere else. I can't remember.
Georgia?
Yeah, Georgia.
That's a very good one, the Heidi Vale story.
Yeah,
with Mr.
I need to watch the other one.
That the Georgia one, I really enjoyed the Georgia one. We've watched it numerous times. And we've had them on our show, and it was actually when we were doing Thursdays and Sundays, so they were on Thursday night, so I wasn't there for the show, but I guess Chris said that, and actually, that's one of the few, we've been doing this for 2.5 years, so we have to keep dropping shows off our Podomatic page, but that one is still on our Podomatic page. Chris liked it so much that it's still
really
there. Yep.
I'm going to have to go check it out.
Yeah, it's just scroll down to the bottom of the page, you'll see it.
Yeah, I've got the one that everybody doesn't want me to take off, the Lady Mystique one. I don't know if you've listened to it. It was our April Fool's show. We had a good one of my investigators, Jess, pretended to be a psychic.
Oh, I remember you talking about that. Yeah,
and some of the most craziest predictions. Obama is the leader of the UFO invasion. Just total crazy. And we got about 45, maybe 50 minutes of the show, and she said something. I just couldn't take it anymore. I just started cracking up. And the funniest thing is that somebody asked a question, and she said this. She answered it, and she got it right.
Huh.
Somebody asked a question on chat, and she answered the question and got it right.
Oh, wow.
And everybody was like, oh, my God, you know? And we were like, how the hell did that happen? But it's on our Podomatic page at the very bottom, the Lady Mystique episode. It's one that I probably won't get rid of for a while because I listen to it every now and then and just kind of chuckle. And I think I have the John Zaffis one on there too
because
I really liked that interview.
Yeah, Chris enjoyed when John Zaffis was on with us as well. Yeah, we've had some great guests. Now, we got another returning guest coming up here in a couple weeks, Eddie Benitez.
Yeah, I got an email. asking if I wanted to have him on the show. I'm going to have him on the show as well.
From Judy?
Uh-huh.
From Judy?
Yep, I believe so.
Yeah. Eddie is a fantastic guest. He's just a fantastic guy. He was the first ethnic episode on a haunting. It was about his son. And one of his sons played a part on the show. And it was a very good show, or the story behind it. And Eddie is actually, he was the youngest. He's a jazz guitarist, legendary jazz guitarist. And he was the youngest person ever to play, I can't think of it now. I want to say Madison Square Garden, but that's not right. So we've been playing some of his music. And if you bring him on as a guest, they'll send you some music that you can play. But he's a great, great guest.
Well, and he's related to Prince, too. I mean, Prince.
Really? I did not know that.
Yeah, somebody was telling me he's related to Prince. Huh. They're like cousins or something like that.
Wow, yeah, good guest. So he'll be on.
Yeah.
He's coming on our show on August the 16th. And I think Judy's been sending out the things, because he's got a tour coming up. I can't think of off the top of my head the name of the tour. But it starts, I believe, next month. So he's trying to get some promotion going on with it and everything. So we're always willing to help promote him. We think he's a great guy.
Yeah, I sent an email, I think, last night or early this morning. So hopefully I'll hear something back.
Very cool. Yeah.
Get him on the show.
Very cool. So. You won't be disappointed. Not at all.
Cool. We made it.
We did. We got about 3 minutes left to the top of the hour. And, yes, this weekend, Saturday, August the 8th, from 12 to 4 p.m. at the Haunted Hannah House in Indianapolis, Indiana, the fourth annual and probably the largest meet and greet anywhere around. I know Danielle has been doing a lot of work on that. She does a great job. And she right now is saying, obviously weather permitted and everything flowing just right, that we're looking at over 1,000 people in attendance. Many media sources, newspapers, television, all sorts of things. We got a lot of notables. Let me bring it up here real quick. That's going to be there. Keith Age, who's been to just about all of them except for the first one, he just up and shows up. He's a great guy. I don't know if you've ever talked to Keith Age.
I have, actually.
He is a nut. You know, he's a great guy, though. He comes and to all of our events. Del Kaczmarek out of the Chicago area, great author. He'll be there. He usually comes every year. Wanda Lou Willis, of course, one of my most favorite ladies in all the world. I love Wanda Lou Willis. She'll be there as always. Rob Conover, which is the one I was talking about that Chris Balzano always sends information to us on. He's an author. He's done television stuff. He also has had some experience, and he was on A Haunting. I watched his episode. Actually, it was funny. The week that we had him on, we usually watch A Haunting on TV, and it was going along there, and it said, Rob Conover. I said, stop, because we got the TiVo where you can run it back. I said, run that back. I said, isn't that the guy that's going to be on our show this week? And he was a fantastic guest. And so he's been coming to all of our events now. And, of course, Jason Sullivan out of Midwest Haunts does the Ghost Hunting 101. Very informative guy. And like I said, anyone that buys a ticket to the American Paranormal Conference or the Chicago Ghost Conference during the meet and greet, those two conferences will donate $5 for every ticket sold back to the Hannah House. So that's a great cause. Some of the sponsors are Christopher Lean Design, Whispers Estate, Pyramid of Enlightenment Court, Hoosier State Paranormal, and, of course, the American Paranormal Conference and Chicago Ghost Conferences. So there's going to be lots to going on. You'll be able to take tours of the Hannah House throughout the day. And they've even got stuff set up afterwards. You can sign up to do a ghost hunt at the Hannah House after the meet and greet. And downtown Indianapolis, they'll have a ghost tour going on at night. So it's going to be a fun-filled day for all involved. And if you're anywhere close to Indianapolis, that's going to be the place to be this Saturday, 12 noon to 4 p.m. And Tom, unfortunately, you can't make it. Hopefully one day you'll be able to make it to one of our events. And
I'm definitely going to shoot for next year.
Yeah, we'd love to meet you. With that said, my clock says it is the top of the hour, so it's finally time for us to quit yakking and get off of here.
Yeah, and don't forget Outreach Radio tonight and Residual Hauntings.
Absolutely, right here on ASPRN. So until Friday, we have the TGIF edition of Good Morning Paranormal. And like Tom said, tonight on Poor Radio and Residual Hauntings on ASPRN, always something going on. So until Friday, we will say goodbye and hope you have a great rest of the week.
See you, everybody.
You've been listening to Good Morning Paranormal, powered by the All Souls Paranormal Radio Network. And remember, you can hang out here with different show hosts from the ASPRN Network for Good Morning Paranormal every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday here on the All Souls Paranormal Radio Network.